from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. A happy Monday, everybody. And you cannot tell me nothing today. I got a new car over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, you know what? Yeah, I see the people. They want, there you go. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. This is really great. This is big time for me. Yeah, a big shout out. A Hyundai Kona, electric. And I got to tell you, having modern car amenities, phenomenal. Game changer for the commute. I have cooling seats.
Cooling seats.
Yeah, heated and cooling seats. Again, this is all, there's people who drive cars that have been made in the last 7 years who are like, oh yeah, no, my car, like I get that this isn't like a special thing, but for me, I've been driving a 2012 Honda Civic since September of 2011. And I've, salute to the Civic. It took me all over the world. That's not true. It took me to like Arizona.
Yeah.
But back as well. And I love that little car, but did not have heated or cooling seats. It didn't have a push to start. It didn't have lane assist. It didn't have the smart cruise control where it slows down or speeds up based on the car in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at a stoplight, when the car in front of me goes, my car beeps at me and goes like, hey, the front car moved. You can go now.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to pay attention at red lights. That's a joke. I still pay attention. But what else does it have? CarPlay.
Oh,
I can have my music in my car again.
Oh, yeah.
Because my car was so outdated. My Civic was so outdated that my iPhone, when I plugged it into the USB thing that links up where I used to plug in my iPod to my car.
Yep.
It doesn't read it. The technology on the phone is beyond what the car can do.
Well, that's not good.
It's tough. So I'd been listening to music in my headphones. Music and podcasts. So I imagine wearing your earbuds all the time. And that's the only way you could... Anywhere, anytime I drive anywhere. If I want to listen to a podcast, headphones. If I want to listen to music, headphones. So I listen to D'Lo and KC so much on the way home because I don't want to put my headphones in.
I'm really surprised that you have cooling seats. I don't have Great. Cooling seats in my car.
Sure.
At least not that I know of.
I bet you
of.
Could if you paid for it.
Maybe. It might be hiding there.
Oh, definitely.
Just not sure.
That thing is a full-blown transformer if you want it to be.
Yeah, like people mention the heated steering wheel. I don't really like the heated steering wheel.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever got into a car and been like, oh my gosh, the steering wheel is so cold. I don't think I've ever had that moment.
Yeah, I don't think so. I definitely have not. But I've also never lived where it's particularly cold.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I lived like in like Alaska somewhere.
Sure. Or somewhere on the East Coast, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe in Colorado.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, nice heated steering wheel.
Sure. I could definitely see that.
Okay.
If it's cold in the morning and you got to get in it and your hands are all freezing, That's fine. I could see that. I could see where there's benefit in that, but probably not with the weather out here.
No.
But yeah, man, it was great. It was really cool. I had a great drive in, and I'm excited to be, I don't have to pay for gas anymore.
Hey man, I pulled into the parking lot and I look around and I'm like, oh, where's Kyle at? Like, Kyle must not be here. Like, that's not a good thing. If Kyle's not here yet, then I'm like instantly alerted. Like,
sure.
Because Kyle parks in the same spot every day.
Mm-hmm. Same spot-ish.
Ish, yeah.
We don't have assigned spots, but when I pull up and somebody's in the spot that I usually pull into.
Oh, yeah.
I get, not mad, but there's part of me that is like, hey, what are you doing? It's my spot.
I do that every single time.
But they're not, like, they're not. But you park out. Do people park in your spot?
Yes. On occasion, there's a, I think it's a Mercedes or a BMW, like, sports car.
Oh, dude, we're keying that thing next
Well,
time.
Then I'll park right next to it just to be, you know,
yeah,
that no, guy.
Yeah, for sure. You got to get super close to, like, their driver's side door.
I like to, what I like to do is, like, the island with a tree in it in the parking lot. I like
island
to pull.
With a tree.
Exactly.
That is. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
I like to pull through to the spot on the other side. So there's a curb right on like my back corner panel on the driver's side.
Smart.
Yeah. So then that way I'm slightly protected in case someone wants to ding my door, even though there's not enough cars in our parking lot.
Yeah.
To really.
Well, that's why
I'm
shocked because not in the sticks necessarily of our parking lot because you can go way out there.
Yeah.
But you park further away from the car. That's why I'm shocked that people would happen to be in that random spot that you grabbed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. They take my spot on occasion and it's frustrating. Then I've got to go to another tree spot and try to park there, and sometimes there's a car parked on the front side.
Not my favorite tree.
That's it's horrible.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show. This is the Insiders. Welcome, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're giving stuff away today. We have a big Sacramento River Cats theme this week, and frankly, next week.
And next week.
2 weeks of River Cat themes, because this Saturday, everybody buckle up, get your tickets now at rivercats.com, because this Saturday our very own James Hamm will be throwing out the first pitch at the Sacramento River Cats game. Everybody applause for James. Yes, can't wait for that. So Saturday, get your tickets, rivercats.com. You've begun your throwing program. Have you continued it?
I've been a little shaky with it. I will get back to it today. Today, I will drag the 21-year-old out.
Perfect.
And make him throw with me.
If you would like to bring your glove with you, we can throw in the, we can have a catch in the parking lot.
We could, I think we could have it right outside here.
You said, yeah, whatever you want to do,
like,
man.
In the building.
I will throw my glove in my car. I have a couple of baseballs and we can.
All right. All right.
We can throw it around.
I couldn't. The first time we went out and threw, we couldn't find a regular baseball, except for when I coached Little League when my son was little. You give the game ball.
One?
You give the game ball away, and so he's got like five of them because, you know, like over the course of three seasons,
sure,
you get a game ball, game nine or whatever, and we took one of those out and went out and played catch with it. I mean, they've just been
sitting
there forever.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. It's not like I pulled out like an autographed baseball. Like, well, you know, Rich Harden really wasn't that good. So
I have a Gio Gonzalez one.
I can go throw the Rich Harden ball. He was going to be good, and then he flamed out.
He needed to go the Mason Miller track.
Yeah.
He needed to be a closer.
No, I totally agree. He was so fun to watch.
He was really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Except in the 06 ALCS. He came back from injury and was terrible in Detroit. Anyways, I think it was game three. Doesn't matter. I get anxiety when I see people. Like, I have a Gio Gonzalez autographed baseball.
Okay.
The idea of just taking that out and throwing it around, again, if I tried to sell that, it would probably be worth about what the baseball is worth.
Yeah, like maybe $8.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that would be Gio Gonzalez super fan 4949 getting in my DMs asking for that baseball for $8. But because it has an autograph on it, I feel weird about throwing. When I see people wearing their autographed jersey, like at a Kings game, you're Golden One Center, someone's walking around in their autographed Pujetter jersey, I'm like, what are you doing? Hang that up. Why? And I get, again, like, shout out to Pujetter. Hope he's doing great. But that jersey is worth about what the jersey is worth.
He was on the Portland Trail Blazers coaching
That's
staff.
That's right. I knew he had
walked
come
up
this
and
year
like gave me
point.
A hug. Earlier this season. Like, what? Hey, yeah. James, you remember me? I'm like, what's up, Pooh? Like,
you remember me?
That's right. That's awesome. Gio Gonzalez had 131 wins, Kyle.
Good for him.
131 and 101 with a 3.7 ERA.
If you had asked me how many MLB wins did Gio Gonzalez have, I would have said like 90.
Oh, no. He was really good for a while. He won 21 games, 21-8.
With the Nats?
Yeah. He came in third in the Cy Young balloting and 20th in MVP balloting.
How old is he now? 37? 38?
38. Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. So I the idea of even something as small as that, like a little league game ball, it's like, man, that.
We had like five.
Not
more,
that I'm judging it, just like that. Just
my son, like, makes, he grabbed it and was like, hey, let's just use this. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Obviously very meaningful to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he played soccer. He's got a lot of like
trophies
and medals and stuff from tournaments and stuff. So it's like,
that's the meaningful.
They're
stuff,
on the list of things that are cool and meaningful, but you know, they'll hide in a box somewhere at some point.
I got this one. I got a baseball one time. I was playing in a tournament, no big deal. And it was right after I had started. So to make this travel team, I was on a house team with the same coach for 4 years or 5 years or whatever it was. A guy named Jeff Elberg. Shout out to Jeff. And he started coaching our local travel team.
Okay.
And he went, hey, we'd love to have Kyle on the team, but we need a catcher. Is that something he can take on? And I was like, yeah, I love baseball. I want to play for sure. So obviously very rocky to start. Wasn't great, but just worked at it and got a little better to the point that I was a serviceable catcher. And this one game very early in my catching tenure, I just had a really, like, really solid game. It was like the best game I'd played defensively, particularly. And I went like 1-for-2. And after the game, the umpire was like, man, it was like my fifth or sixth game catching. And he was like, great job, and tossed me the ball. And I was like, yes. And I have that still. Mm. I wrote on there, the team we played against, the fact I went 1-for-2 and I put it in a little case. Taking that outside to throw it around, we'll never do that.
Never.
I am so attached. Again, super, couldn't tell you what the score was. I think I might have written the score on there too. But it was this travel program called Star Maker was who we played against. And we played, they had this one team, I forget what color they were. They were like Star Maker red, white, and blue. And I think red was the best one, and then white, and then blue was their like bottom level. It was their low level team. So, but still, like, man, heck yeah, we beat Star Maker and I played really well. So that's just not, I was 13 years old.
All right.
And just still got it.
All right. I told you, I robbed
never
a home
asked me to throw that thing.
I robbed a home run one time. I was running full speed, playing slow pitch softball.
Mm-hmm.
The 7-Up driver, they would come in, because I worked at a grocery store, they would come in and refill the 7-Up. He, lefty, launched one to right field. I'm running back full speed, stretched out fully. I'm like, hey, why is there a tree limb right there? And boom, I hit the fence. Just as the ball hits my glove, I wrap over the fence, totally cut all the way across my belly. I look down, the ball's still in the glove.
Come on.
They gave me the team ball even though they whooped us. Just crushed us. The other team, hey, threw me the team ball. I think I just threw it in the bucket. We just kept playing with
it. That's the right move. That's the right. If you, great catch, awesome play. But if you got smoked in that game.
Oh, we got smoked. Yeah. It's like, no, that's good.
All right. So James, on Saturday, will be throwing out the first pitch of the Rivercats game. Make sure to get your tickets at rivercats.com. It is a really, really great time out there. Just good baseball. Get to hang out, a little intimate setting, good beer selection, good food selection. Yeah. Really, really fun spot. So make sure to head out to Sutter Health Park this Saturday. And then coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we are going to give you a keyword. And that keyword will be entered online at ESPN1320.com. And when you enter online, you will be entered to win a spot in our suite at Sutter Health Park, at the ESPN 1320 suite at Sutter Health Park. On August 16th. So we're going to give you a keyword each day this week and next week. And every time you enter, you will be entered to win a spot with a plus one to our suite at Sutter Health Park on Saturday, August 16th. Friday, August 16th. Right? Yeah, Friday, okay. August 16th. And we'll take 10 winners. Everybody gets a plus one. We'll go hang out in a suite, watch some baseball. So we will listen in the 11 o'clock hour. We will be giving away the first keyword for the first two spots.
There we go.
Or the first spot with your plus one.
With your plus one.
It's going to be a good time. Really, really, really fired up for that. It's the day after my birthday.
Mm.
So I'm taking some time off, and I said, no, I'm coming up. So that's what I'm doing.
All right.
Coming up just to go watch a little River Cats baseball with you all in the ESPN 1320 suite. Again, in the 11 o'clock hour, we will be giving out the first keyword that you will enter at ESPN1320.com. So stay locked in for that. All right. You've been tapped into the Olympics very much?
I have.
What has been your favorite event? What have you been locked into?
Well, I got up Saturday morning and to support our guy Tony.
Of course.
I did watch field hockey.
Yep. He did a great job.
I watched field hockey. He did an outstanding job. I watched the entire time thinking, oh dear Lord, I wouldn't be able to walk for 3 years if I had to run around with a stick on the ground. Like that
field
is
hockey is crazy.
Like the stick needs to be I sent you it like at least three times longer.
Yeah.
Like
minimum.
Like the fact they
like
are
a stick
hunched
for ants.
It is a stick for ants. They're hunched over the entire time. It was pretty painful to watch, but overall I thought that was pretty cool. And at the same time, was that when Team USA was playing? So I kept going back and forth.
Team USA men's basketball?
Yeah.
Was the next day.
Okay, so there was some other event that was going on that I was watching at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
No, I actually took in quite a bit of Olympics this weekend. I don't know. It was fun to watch. I wasn't like, I'm not 100% invested in everything. Mm-hmm. I love seeing our friend Kareth Burke on Sunday during the game. Mm-hmm. I thought she did a great job.
Yep.
I did watch, we were sitting at a local restaurant last night. And I was watching the women's badminton. Holy cow, that's crazy.
Badminton's nuts, dude.
It's so much fun to watch.
It's the sport that looks the easiest that I think is the hardest.
Yeah, because we all played it in like gym.
Right.
With like a broken down stupid racket that like missing a couple of strings.
And every shot is lobbed and you're just running underneath and not. They are smoking that thing.
Yes.
The birdie, I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
They're smoking that thing.
You're not going to call it a shuttlecock?
Nope, I'm not going to do that on the radio.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think we got to thump that. No. They just ripping it and just spin moves and backhands and diving. Just incredible.
Or when
incredible athleticism.
When both of them swing at the same one, but like they're layered, and so you're not sure which one is actually swinging at it. That's wild.
It's
very, very cool to watch.
Yeah.
So I watched some of that. Like, you know what? Like,
well, gymnastics?
I've got into it. Yeah. I did not get to watch a bunch of gymnastics. I don't know where I missed that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll have to tune in because it's been good stuff.
U.S. men's gymnastics actually vying for its first medal since 2008.
Oh.
Shout out to them.
Okay.
I learned something about gymnastics scoring on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, I think I may have read the same thing.
The Simone Biles deal?
Yeah, it's wild.
So, long story short, if you're not familiar with gymnastics scoring, you get like points for difficulty where they know what move you're going to try and do.
Yep.
And they assign a difficulty score to it. And if you do that move, you get those points if you just execute the move.
And whether you land properly or not, whether you take a hop or whatever.
Right. It doesn't matter how you whether you stick the landing or don't, or fall on the landing, doesn't matter. If you execute the move, you get the points. Simone Biles' difficulty score is so high that she would likely medal even if she didn't land her move.
At all. As long as she did the move in the air.
Yes.
Yeah, so she registered this.
Ridiculous.
I read like she registered it right before the right before their events, like the day before or 2 days before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you have to do. You have to like put in a thing. This is what I'm doing, so then they can properly like adjust the scoring for it. And it's like literally, she's the only one who's ever been able to do this move at all.
Yeah,
the only one who's even tried it. And then they're like, she has to register it, and it's called like the Biles 2 or something, because it's like the second move that she's done that's just like ridiculous and no one else can do in the world.
It's so crazy.
But then she hurt herself. So like hopefully she's able to, she said she's going to continue
still
to compete.
Rocked.
Yeah.
She's ridiculous. She's going to go down as one of those athletes that I feel like when my, you know, hopefully if I'm lucky enough to have children someday, that my children, assuming they're sports fans or at least into the Olympics, will like talk about and ask about. Like Nadia Comaneci is a name that I just know. And she was, we were just talking about this last night at dinner, actually. 76 Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Was when she went out as a 14-year-old and got a perfect 10 in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's those legendary athletes that everybody just kind of knows. And it's just, it's really cool watching her do that.
Yeah. Even like Mary Lou Retton was like, you know, like on the box, the Wheaties box and everything else, but like took America by storm.
Yeah.
And just like spectacular. And now
she was the one that did the not the pommel horse, but the vault with the messed up leg, right?
No, that's Carrie Strugs.
I don't know.
I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm wrong, but it's not Mary Lou.
Mm.
Yeah.
I just remember that. I was very, I can't remember what you're, I just, that's one of my first Olympic memories is watching that live. I just can't remember who it was. Carrie Strugs sounds right.
Yeah.
U.S. men's basketball got underway. That is that's the event that I tapped into all the way. I haven't gotten into women's soccer just yet because I know that they struggled at the last World Cup. The U.S. women's team did, but I didn't think they would have too much of a problem through their first couple of group stage games.
Yeah.
And they are plus six in their first two games, and they hung 4 goals on Germany, which is something Germany hadn't allowed in like 18 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just dominant right now.
Yeah, I watched the men's game on Saturday. That's the other game I was watching.
Oh, men's footy?
Men's soccer. And I thought that was really like a good bounce back game for Team USA.
They got smoked.
Yeah, but then they crushed New Zealand like 4-1, so it was a good bounce back.
This is if I have this right, the men's Olympic team is very different than like the one that was just playing in Copa America.
Well, it like the U.S. team isn't that different, but maybe it is, but some of the other teams are very different.
Right, it's like their U19 team or
whatever. Most European nations do not put forth their A-list team for the Olympics. They don't really care about the Olympics as much as they care about either Euro Cup or World Cup.
Right. Yeah. This is very tertiary for them. U.S. men's basketball yesterday, 110-84 win over Serbia. Kevin Durant's so sick, dude. He's ridiculous.
He is. I'm going to miss him when he's gone.
There's a ease to his game that just I find so appealing.
Every time you hear him, you watch him play, and then, like, the Slim Reaper, like, that's just...
It's a great nickname.
It is, and he's just, he lives up to it every time. You're just like, oh, look at that. He just totally stole your soul.
Yep.
Like, he just snatched it right out of your body. Just like, oh, look at that.
No showcase games. Didn't get to practice, well, I'm sure he got to practice, but didn't play in any games leading up. Steps on the court off the bench. But I did not realize that he's the all-time men's basketball leading scorer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the Olympics.
Okay.
And steps on the court and immediately goes 8 for 9, 23 points.
It just boom.
It's a buzzer beater at the end of the half, a really tough fall away. Just a reminder of just, is he older now and is he going to be an MVP candidate next year? No, probably not. But he is still a weapon, man.
He's just absolutely insane. Remarkable, and the fact that, you know, we're getting to see this like last hurrah. He's almost 36,
man.
So he's not as old as a couple of the other guys as far as Steph and LeBron. But still, what he's able to do is amazing. And then like Serbia, holy cow! Nikola Jokic has lost like 25 pounds and looked incredible.
It was like different guy.
It totally looked like a different guy.
If I didn't know that he was on that team,
yeah.
If I just had no knowledge of where he, I would have had no idea it was him.
You know, you always hear camera adds 10 pounds, right?
Mm.
I almost feel like the NBA camera adds like 25 pounds, and maybe that like part of it was that, but he just looked lean and like and tan and like ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
I thought in that game, Serbia, the biggest thing is that they kind of took away Bogdanović.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bogey wasn't nearly, he just didn't get nearly the touches.
Yeah.
But then Vanya was there, which I thought was crazy because Vanya Marinkovic, most people are like, who the heck is that?
Yeah, the great, right? Vanya Marinkovic.
He looked really good early. Mm-hmm. He was the final pick in the 2019 NBA draft by the Sacramento Kings.
Oh, Sacramento Kings legend. Yes, I see. Okay.
Yes. And I had looked for him in the past, and it looked like he had just stopped playing basketball. But no, there he was. You're like, hey, look at that. Like, he looks really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, so I just an interesting, because like Vlade heard it for that pick for no reason. I mean, it's his 60th pick in the draft. So, and they had two other first round, I mean, second round picks that year, including, I think, Justin James and Kyle Guy. Maybe I'm wrong. But I kind of feel like that was a draft that they had those guys, that they had multiple picks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see. Oh, yeah, there's Kyle Guy at number 55, and I believe that's a Justin James draft. Yeah, Justin James at number 40. Look at that. They had 3 second-round picks, so I was okay with them taking a flyer, and like I didn't think it really mattered either way. But I thought he looked quality. Like it was fun to watch.
Yeah. Was the Vasilij Micic in that game the one that Oklahoma City traded?
Yes.
And basketball podcasters freaked out about it?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm out. I'm out on him.
He played well for the Bobcats once he got traded.
The Hornets.
Or, yeah, the Hornets. Sorry. Same thing.
That's like the San Diego Chargers. I type San Diego the first time every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. It's been 8 years now?
Yeah.
It's been so long. I still say San Diego. Averaged 11, 2, and 6 with the Hornets. I'm just out on him, though. The Kevin Durant body check.
Oh.
Really, that bothered me. Didn't like it.
Yeah, they were
didn't even go for the ball.
Trying to be physical there, mm-hmm. like mid-court on those fouls.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a bit of an interesting decision. That wasn't the only time they did that. Like a couple of times they hit guys mm-hmm. pretty hard. Like, and like odd positions on the court.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they like swung at a guy's head as he's going for a basket.
Yeah.
No, they just like linebacker move like in mid-court.
If you missed it, go watch. He doesn't, because at first I thought, going for the ball.
Yeah.
Good foul, whatever. But then you see the replay and he just runs in, not even reaching, just full blown shoulder to shoulder and no tech, no flagrant. All right, FIBA.
They looked at it.
They did. And that's fine. That sets a good precedent. I'm actually here for it. I'm just used to watching the NBA where that's a flagrant one minimum.
Yeah.
Like for sure. Did you see, and this is a rule that I think the NBA needs to adopt, that in FIBA, you get an assist if your pass leads to free throws.
Oh, I love that.
That's a great rule.
Yeah.
That's and I know that teams probably track stuff like that. I know teams track the hockey assists or
the screen assist.
Potential assists, screen assists.
Yeah, yeah.
Where if you make the right pass and the guy just bricks the open three, they what was that?
Sorry.
It sounded like a printer. They tab, you know, okay, yeah, potential assist or would-be assist or whatever they call it. I think Synergy might track those too.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of free throws get you an assist. Because if Domas is sitting there and Keegan makes a sick cut and Domas makes the right pass and defender comes over and just hacks Keegan, Domas should get an assist.
I think you have to hit 1 out of 2 free throws. Like I think you would have to hit something because if not, it would lead to nothing. But
yeah,
you got to
make the free throw.
It would change the record book, so I don't know that they'll ever change that. You know, but still, like
they should.
I know Quinn Snyder when he had Rudy Gobert in Utah mm-hmm. would talk about the screen assist all the time. It should be a legitimate stat. I don't understand why it's not. You know how many screen assists that Rudy Gobert had last night? He had 17 screen assists. We're like,
do you know why it's not a legitimate stat? Is because when me and the Chatty House are hanging out at 32 Brews down at Sky River Casino,
mm-hmm.
nobody is going, hey, yeah, but hey, he went 0-for-6 from the floor, but you see all his screen assists?
Did you see that great screen assist he had in the mid-third quarter?
It's like, bro, save
totally
that.
Led to a wide-open dunk.
Save that for minute 48 of your podcast.
That's right.
Like, I just don't. The screen assist. I get it. I get why it's important. I get why teams look at it. But the reason it's not a stat is because fans are not going to go, wow, you know what? Rudy Gobert is really good. You see all his screen assists last night? Impact offensive player.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. All right. We got more Team USA hoops. One of their best players didn't play. We'll talk about why. We got MLB trade deadline stuff. And the 49ers and Raiders are in very different quarterback situations. We'll talk about it next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, salute to the Marathon Turtle Hospital, man. Down there just, I guess it's northeast of Key West.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down there when we went to Key West last fall and went to the Turtle Hospital. And man, the work they do there is incredible. Started following them on Instagram.
Okay.
And some of the work they're able to do to save sea turtles is just incredible. It's really, really amazing.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I've seen videos. It's pretty crazy.
It is. They're remarkable. Well, at my house, my wife has always been very cognizant of our waste and food waste and plastic waste and all that. And so particularly after going to this Marathon Turtle Hospital, I was like, I'm never using plastic ever again. And if I do, when I throw it away, it's going to be secured like in a bag. I hate this. Like, I'm really, really bummed about it now. And did you know every piece of plastic that's ever been produced is still on Earth?
Well, that's wild.
Because it doesn't degrade.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
It doesn't go away. It's just, so every piece of plastic since plastic's been invented, it's just still here. But anyways, I got crap from Abe from 98 Rock because I use a normal fork. We have dishes in the kitchen. We have a dishwasher and all that. And I use a normal fork when I eat lunch. And one day the dishwasher was clean and I set my fork in there because I had work to do. And I was like, oh, I'll empty it before I go. And then you know what happened? You get wrapped up, you start talking to people. I forgot to empty the dishwasher. I forgot to put my fork in the empty dishwasher. And Abe makes a video and blasts it out like, who uses a fork? Just use a, he sounds like John Ratzenberger. He's like, who uses a fork? Like, use a plastic fork like a normal person. Who uses dishes at work? Oh. Give me crap for it. Save the turtles, bro.
Save the turtles.
It's on you. You're the bad person.
That's right.
Not me.
I do like Abe, though.
Abe's a great dude.
Yeah, Abe's a cool dude.
Yeah.
I think
that's why I'm talking about it on the radio. If I actually had beef, I wouldn't be talking about
it. Yeah, I think
that.
Abe is going to do, he'll be in the 98 Rock.
Yes.
Like when we give away our tickets to
the Rivercast game.
Yeah.
He'll be in the 98 Rock suite for sure.
Yeah.
Love Abe. If you ever get a chance to meet him, do it. All right. We're talking to USA men's basketball. They beat Serbia 110-84 yesterday. A reminder, speaking of the Rivercats game real quick, ESPN 1320 suite night is Saturday, August 16th. We're giving away 10 spots, you and a plus one, to our suite at Sutter Health Park for the August 16th game. We will be giving you a code word that you will enter at ESPN1320.com. That code word is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tapped in for your chance to win two spots in our suite at Sutter Health Park.
And then this weekend, come out and see me maybe... throw a strike, maybe not throw a strike. Throwing out the first pitch.
Have you decided if you're going to throw from the mound yet?
Oh, if I have the option, I probably will. It will be the first time I would have thrown from a mound since I was young, though, so I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah?
I love it. I respect that so much.
Okay. Yeah. I'm usually like, when I play, you know, softball or whatever, I'm very accurate.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of, sure. Like, I'm very accurate. So if, like, we play catch, like, I hit you in the glove, chest level, like, mm-hmm. every time. And mm-hmm. same with passing a ball in soccer.
Sure.
Like, when you're teaching it and you're coaching it, you're like, all right, you know, point your front foot towards mm-hmm. the person mm-hmm. you're going to kick it to, and then boom, you know, so. But as far as, like, being able to throw a full 60 feet, 6 inches, I don't know if I got that in me anymore.
Yeah, from the mound with the downhill slope, it's tough. I respect it, though.
Yeah.
That is this Saturday.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Friday, August 16th. That's this Saturday, August
3rd? I think it's the 3rd.
August 3rd.
Yep.
We have calendars. James Hamm throwing out the first pitch at the Rivercats game. Get your tickets, rivercats.com. All right. Team USA, 110. Serbia, 84. Overall, I have more stuff I want to get to from this game for sure. But overall, I was, for the most part, pretty happy with how Team USA played.
Yeah.
A little slow to start, but I think once they kind of got in a rhythm... Once they stopped trying to feed Joel Embiid post touches, I thought they were good.
I just feel like Steve Kerr's whatever, he's trying to be really nice to Joel Embiid and not to Jason Tatum.
Buddy.
I'm not quite sure what's going on there because Embiid just does not look like he's ready to play at all. And I get it, you're going up against Jokic. So maybe that's why. But that team just looks so much better with Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo on the court. I have no idea why he's doing that.
Mm.
And it's almost like, hey, I've never had a center before. I'm going to coach one.
Well,
maybe that's it. I don't know.
But they used to, so this was a thing that Phil Jackson did, and I'm sure the people before him had did and people since him have done. But it's just getting the center involved early, letting them touch the ball.
Yeah.
Because on a team with LeBron and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid is not going to touch the ball much. So it's a way to get him active and get him involved. But also, don't do that. I don't know.
I don't want to watch like the 16-foot attempted bank shot Embiid. Like, what? Like fall away 16-footers. Like, dude, if you're in the game against Jokic, you only get 5 fouls. Mm-hmm. So that means go get that dude in foul trouble. That's why you're on the court.
Yes.
Like, go down there, battle, get him in foul trouble. You're one of the guys. You're a foul grifter, straight up mm-hmm. foul grifter.
Mm-hmm.
And just go in and get the foul.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I get it in theory, but Joel Embiid is not going to be hurting for touches, I promise. I just run the offense. And once they started doing that, it started rolling. Stunner. Once they started letting Joel Embiid or anybody except Joel Embiid do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like watching the Canadian team. Mm-hmm. Man, what a bunch of foul grifting. Like,
that you texted me that the other
like,
day.
I just like, I don't want to watch you anymore. I don't care. I hope you lose.
Yeah.
Canada.
Dude. Especially in FIBA, they don't buy it, dude. It's officiated differently. Adjust your game.
The flop by, what is it? Why am I drawing a blank?
Dylan Brooks?
Dylan Brooks. Yeah, like, oh my gosh. But even Shea, just again and again and again, you're just foul grifting the whole time, man.
It's
like
it's
the whole team
shameful.
Is just like team foul grifter.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's not the right way to play the sport. And you can see, I honestly, and maybe, look, Joel Embiid is not bad at basketball. Joel Embiid is going to be an MVP candidate this year.
Of course.
If he plays 65 plus games. He will be. And he's dominant, and he's very good in the NBA. But it almost looks like maybe he's banged up. Maybe he's putting too much pressure on himself, and he's trying to. But he looks like when he goes to shoot his little fall away, like 13 footer, it's like he goes up trying to draw contact first, and it affects his shot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did you see Kevin Durant catch guys closing out? He could definitely put his hands out and get it. But no, just rises, fires, bang. Just do that. Go yeah. get a bucket. And if you happen to get fouled, cool. But don't. He's every time under the basket, throws a shot at the rim. His arms are. Dog, you figure it out. You had 5 showcase games and now an actual game. Figure it out.
Yeah.
He's too good. That's why I complain. If Joel Embiid, if this was. I don't want to. If this was Miles Plumlee, not even Mason, Miles.
Okay.
And Miles is like, I got to do whatever I can. I'm going to try and draw fouls. Okay, fine. Whatever, dude. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But it's Joel Embiid. Go get a bucket.
Yeah, it's wild.
You're awesome at it. You don't need to go to the free throw line. And when you do, you're going to miss both. Which he did yesterday.
Kyle, he just looks so unhealthy. Like watching somebody break down.
Yeah.
Like that is not a dude who's going to play till he's 35.
Not even close.
At least that's not what he looks like. You know, he's a guy who missed 2 seasons to get his career going. Like the window for his career is very, it looks like it's going to be very short.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him because he's obviously great and he obviously doesn't want to be injury prone.
Yeah.
But man, you can just see it kind of has its impact. All right. Another headline from Team USA's game. Jason Tatum didn't play.
Oh, that was a tough look.
No minutes?
I think
on purpose.
Kyle, the worst was that he was sitting next to Durant the whole time, and they just kept panning over to Durant, who was being amazing.
Yeah.
And Jason Tatum sitting there like,
yeah, just
like, bro, why am I not playing?
Insane.
Wild.
I don't look. Steve Kerr talked about it after the game, and he said, I feel like an idiot, but I talked to Jason before the game. We got 10-man rotation, 40-minute game. Tough to get everybody in. Then figure it out, coach.
4 minutes left in the game. You're up 16, and you can't put Halliburton and Tatum in to get him some burn? Come on.
But at that point, okay, so that's kind of what I thought, too, at first. But at that point, if you throw Jason Tatum in with 4 minutes left, and he tweaks an ankle, and he's done for the tournament, now you're the idiot that was playing Jason Tatum in garbage time. So I don't... There's no way Steve Kerr... I cannot, Steve Kerr, and because this is not, I promise that it's not a dictatorship there. Ty Lue and Eric Spoelstra as well are, and Mark Few are certainly in on these decisions, at least a little.
Yeah.
There's no chance they look at their roster in front of them, just all stars and Hall of Famers and all NBA guys and Derek White, just.
And Derek White.
Just all there. And they went, you know what the best way to operate this team is? No Jason Tatum. Then I'm not even that high on Tatum. I'm not one of those people that's like, he's a top 3 guy. I don't think he is. I don't even know if he's a top 5 guy. He wasn't even the finals or conference finals MVP of his team. Although I think history might tell us he should have been. But I'm not there. But it's ludicrous that he didn't play a minute. He is way too good.
Yeah, it's wild.
And Derek White got a bunch of burn?
You're talking first team All-NBA player.
Jason Tatum couldn't do what Derek White does?
No. I guess not. To me, it really is wild. Crazy, like, the love of Derek White is really intriguing to me.
This is... Same. I'm with you. But also, Derek White, proud member of the Bald Gang. What up? We talked about this last week. He's a top 3 guy on like every other team in this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like he stinks.
No.
It's not like egregious, but at the same time, with what you need, Are his catch and shoot numbers that much better?
Yeah, I don't know.
He had the ball in his hands a lot. Like, Tatum's whole thing is playmaking.
I think, man, I don't. To maximize Tatum, you really do have to give the ball to him and let him run. You got to let him go mano-a-mano a bunch. And that's not what Team USA is doing. So I still, you know, like people are bringing up Devin Booker played a bunch. Like I thought Devin Booker was good. Dude. He was excellent.
Yeah. Like, especially defensively.
Yeah.
It's like, man, okay, Book.
Yeah. Him and Haliburton are both trying out like the, like sort of the unkept look. Like the beard and, you know, they've let their hair grow out. They're looking a little different than.
Yeah.
Like the.
Yeah. They don't have like a lineup. They don't have the fresh shave. They definitely have that like post breakup look.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like they've gone from like white collar to blue collar, or at least are trying to the look.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I'm trying to look a little dirty here. I don't know. I like, but I'm here for it because I think like Booker was really good. Like he got going from three in that first half and was like, oh, look at that. There you go.
Yeah, his 3-point shot is so nice.
Yeah.
Like his jump shot is just cash. Yeah, 4 for 5 from 3, 4 of 6 from the field for Book. He had 5 assists, a couple of steals, a couple of rebounds, 12 points for him, 15 for Drew Holiday. He was 3 of 5 from 3. They went 18 for 32 from beyond the arc.
Mm.
And I don't think they'll necessarily shoot 56.3% for the tournament, but they had a lot of wide open looks.
Yeah, I remember there was a point where Drew Holiday did like a crossover and fall away like 17, 18 footer.
Yeah.
And it was just like spectacular. And it was like, that's like their 8th best player. The other teams are like, what exactly are we supposed to do here?
Yeah, man.
Like, Jason Tatum's not even playing. What are we supposed to do here?
Yeah, dude. Serbia's good.
Yeah.
Like, Serbia can play. Yeah. And if you're another team in this tournament, you're looking, it's like, God, what do you do?
I didn't even think. Canada, I think, is the one team that might have some sort of shot, but I don't know.
South Sudan should have beat the U.S. in their showcase game, and that's who they play next. So maybe it's South Sudan. And big shout out to South Sudan, by the way.
And Lou Alding.
Yeah. Got their first Olympic victory ever.
Oh.
Just really, really awesome seeing that story, seeing it culminate in a win at the Olympics. And, hey, maybe they go give the U.S. hell again.
That's intriguing, too, because Serbia's in that group. Mm-hmm. So, like, who's going to make it out of that group? I mean, clearly USA beat Serbia. They've got a great shot at beating, of making it out of the group, but like that still leaves a door open. Like, especially if you got one win, they got a loss. I don't know.
I'm rooting for them, man.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that Jason Tatum's not playing in their next game.
Oh no. Steve Kerr said he's playing. He's playing. But didn't say, and so is Tyrese Haliburton. Maybe he did say that, but
okay.
All the concern is for Jason Tatum. Like, I know he's first team All NBA. I didn't play him. It's my bad.
But look, if Jason Tatum didn't play the entire tournament, there would be outrage. They would do segments about it. We would talk about it the entire tournament. That'd be story A. Let's say they go beat South Sudan just comfortably. Let's say it goes like this Serbia game did. And they go win that game, but Tatum didn't play. We would open the show with, no Tatum?
Again?
So, but look, Tyrese Haliburton, all love, right? Just ton of respect for him. Really good player. I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't see the floor. Over Book, Drew Holiday, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards.
And Derek White? Yeah.
Derek White is 10 times the defender Haliburton is.
Yeah, that's the problem that he has.
He went... Derek White, 1 for 2 with an assist, a rebound, 2 steals, and a block yesterday. 2 points. Like, if Halliburton's not making an impact on offense, I don't see a reason for him to be out there.
Well, that's the problem that Ty has, is that the guys that are he's up against for minutes are either 5 times the defender that he is, or they're a much better shooter than he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say Tyrese Haliburton's a great shooter. He didn't have a great shooting season, but he's not as good a shooter as Steph Curry or Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're up against those two, or how do you beat Derek White or Drew Holiday as defenders?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is you can't beat any of them. Is he a better passer than all of those guys? Maybe.
Sure.
Like him and Steph would be like the top tier passers of that group.
He's an elite distributor.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. But that means that you have to run that specific type of offense in order for him to compete. And a lot of that realistically is going to LeBron. Mm-hmm. So, like, the reliance on LeBron is pretty crazy to watch.
It is not, but it is insane. But you can tell he wants that responsibility.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're not going, he didn't show up and go, yeah, hey, I'm going to kick my feet up. And they went, LeBron, we need you. No, he wants to do this. That steal and coast-to-coast layup through, like, four dudes yesterday.
Yeah.
Where he did the whole shrugging thing on the way back and was yelling. That was insane. There's not that many dudes in the history of basketball that are doing that, and he's still doing it at 39.
I don't think there's anyone in the history of basketball that attacks the rim like he does. Like, to be that big and that strong, like, you know, guys like Karl Malone, they dribbled the ball like four times at the most.
Right.
LeBron's able to do all of this stuff while, you know, like being elite at everything.
Just crazy.
Like, really, really amazing.
Yeah, doing it while getting the steal and then going coast to coast with it.
You know what's really quieted down? This is Anthony Edwards' team talk.
Hey, hey, I will say, I'm if you listen to the show, you know I'm a big Anthony Edwards guy. Big proponent of Ant.
Yeah.
I love that he's brash and the way he goes about his business and he talks his smack, but he's clearly like having fun with it. He's not like mean about it. He's not like a jerk about it. And that's why it's fun.
Yeah.
But I love the way the old guys have just embraced him and the way that he is still himself, but without trying to be, hey, this is my team. You guys are done. It's my time.
Yeah.
Like, he knows that's coming. And I'm sure there are instances where he's said that to him in practice or whatever, talking trash. But he knows, like on game days, he knows what time it is. And he's not out there trying to do too much. And I love the fact that when they're throwing him a lob and he's dunking it, they're all, you know, celebrating with him. And I love it for him. And the fact that he grew up a huge Kevin Durant fan, and the fact that he grew up watching LeBron, he was 7 years old, 6 or 7 years old, when Kevin Durant made his debut. He's grown up watching Kevin Durant be awesome at basketball. Now he gets to play in the Olympics with him. That's so sick.
I think for him, he will be the player that gains the most from this experience.
Ooh.
I don't think, without any question to me, he will be the player that grows the most from this experience, that has the opportunity to grow from this experience. Like, I think Bam can grow from this experience and maybe, like, but he's going to learn how to be a leader, how to be,
that's a good point,
a great teammate. I think that's Team USA. In order to win and be successful, you have to put your ego aside and be part of something that's just totally different than what you're normally part of.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Ant is going to learn the most from this out of anyone. Because, again, like, Halliburton's going to talk the talk, and, you know, Tatum just won a ring, so he's coming off like huge success, personal success. But to have a young guy who, and that's why, like, realistically, it's why, so bummed out that De'Aaron Fox didn't have this experience last time, because it was there for him.
Yeah.
But he had other things going on outside in real life. And I don't blame him for leaving Team USA.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But I would have loved for him to have gotten that experience, not just in the first, like, the 2 weeks of buildup, but the actual, you know, whole experience, to go far away from home with this group of dudes and just hang out nonstop. And it just wasn't in the cards for him. So,
yeah, I think that's a good one. I think Ant for sure. I'm interested to see how this impacts Devin Booker, if and how this impacts Devin Booker.
Yeah,
because you saw how he played yesterday, where he understands that his role is not ball handling, it's not distributing, it's not, he is catch and shoot, he is play good defense, and he's really taken on that role. And watching him yesterday and watching Kevin Durant yesterday, and then the fact that the Suns go out and sign Tyus Jones for $3.3 million?
League minimum.
What are we missing with Tyus Jones, bro? What are you and I... Because you and I are both in. You and I are both big Tyus Jones guys.
He's lost in the aprons.
Man.
I know that sounds horrible.
No, I think you're probably right, though.
But I think that there's a handful of players this offseason that fully got lost in the aprons. And either you were part of some team's big master plan or you weren't. And if you weren't, then where are you going to go?
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the sneaky great signings. I feel totally different about the Phoenix Suns today than I did like on Friday.
Dude, I'm with you. I saw that happen. And for a second, kind of like, vet men for Tyus Jones? Like a good starting point guard?
That's
like
really
a really
tough,
high man. Quality player. That's crazy.
Even if he's a really high end backup.
Yeah.
That still has so much value. I mean, what he was able to do for Memphis and just basically keep them on the rails when Ja would miss 20 games, it was just absolutely spectacular. And, you know, like his inability, his ability to not turn the ball over, his assist to turnover ratio is one of the greatest in the history of the game over his career.
Yep.
And
solid defender.
To go, good defender. To go and land in a place like that, he could, I mean, first of all, that team is still you're concerned about injuries. Book does miss a ton of games.
1,000%.
And Kevin Durant missed a certain amount of games. He was actually really durable this season. But then you have Bradley Beal, who is just like so hit and miss.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to miss 30 to 40 games a year. And now you have somebody who just helps stabilize everything.
And it takes, and I know, and this is where I don't want to overreact and act like Tyus Jones is an all-NBA player, because he's not. It's not that. But when you looked at what the Suns needed, it's everything you just said.
Yeah.
On top of taking some of the playmaking onus off of Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, and not making it where Grayson Allen needs to put the ball on the deck and Bradley Beal has to be out there. Like, Bradley Beal can now just kind of be a spot-up guy with a second unit.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. Like, that's where Bradley Beal can really cook. And now all of a sudden you start to see how these dominoes kind of fall into place. And maybe Phoenix is a play-in team and they don't make the playoffs. Sure. But I think the domino effect of what Tyus Jones can bring could make Phoenix more dangerous than they were going to be going into the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I for Phoenix, that's a really nice signing.
I think it's a great signing. Again, it totally makes me think different about who they are as a team. I think the battle for the 5-6-7 in the West is going to be flat out nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one or two of those teams could easily jump into the top four. But realistically, if we're lining them up right now, the 5-6-7 is some combination of Kings, Suns, and Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be a flat out battle. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe there's other teams that are going to be there. I don't buy what's happened with the Clippers. Clearly the Lakers, the Warriors, but that group there, and then maybe even like a team like Memphis comes back into the fray, but
maybe Memphis could jump up into that 5-6-7 conversation.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me if one of the teams from the top four last year, the top three plus Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
It wouldn't shock me at all if one of those teams fell back into that mix.
Yeah.
Whether it's injury related or Denver just kind of feeling their way around without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in the lineup and trying to figure out what they are as a team and also getting motivated to play an 82-game season.
Mm-hmm.
How much does Denver, as Nikola Jokic approaches 30, how much does Denver start to focus more on the postseason than the regular season? Maybe they come back into that mix. I don't think Michael Malone would necessarily let them do that, but it wouldn't. Maybe Minnesota takes a step back this year. I think there's ways that 5-6-7 that hunt could involve a ton of teams that are pretty talented. The West is crazy.
Yeah, the West is going to be wild, man. Yeah. And that's one piece that just it takes that team. Their top five or six just got better,
mm-hmm.
and to make that move this late for nothing, The Kings went in and they basically gave this league minimum deal to Jordan McLaughlin a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah. And hey, maybe that works out. Maybe he's a better fit because he's not going to require the minutes. Maybe you weren't in on the Tyus Jones because Tyus Jones just said no. And like, hey, I'm looking for a starting level job and you guys don't really have that. And he's like, okay, look at then. We're going to just sign a guy that we think will fit what we're doing away, right? Mm-hmm. Just for that depth. But, you know, like, again, the Kings did, they made a signing this weekend too. They brought in Boogie Ellis, who played really well for them in Summer League. And maybe that's a transaction like more for Stockton than anything else. But, I just feel like Phoenix just took a major step.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Need another adult in their rotation.
Yes.
And they absolutely got one.
That's true.
One of the adultiest adults in the league. All right. We got MLB trade deadline tomorrow, and the 49ers and Raiders are in very different places quarterback-wise. I want to talk about that, especially with a couple of the big quarterback contracts that got handed down last week. We will discuss that next on the Insiders. He's James and Kyle. Jiffy Lube, they're the sponsor on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.